bow our heads. Dear Father, Lord, thank you for another day, Lord, to gather, Lord, with believers, Lord, and just talk about your word and the edifying of our spiritual lives and all our needs in our personal lives, Lord. Just pray for us at our jobs, at school, wherever we go, Lord. Just pray that your spirit will stay with us, Lord, and always guide us. Just pray for all the needs, Lord, those who are down and just needing, you know, a touch from you, Lord. Just touch them, Lord, and lead them and guide them. Have your way with us, Lord, and watch over the services upstairs, service down here, Lord. Just pray for all things in our hearts and our minds. In your precious name, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, Matthew 16. You're at Matthew 16.
Matthew 16, verse 13. So when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But who do ye say that I am?" So we've gone over this verse a few times now. And this is a question that's continually being asked. It's like there's always opinions and thoughts and controversy around certain subjects, which you need to come to your own understanding of things. So and this is one of those things where, and so it's about the life of Jesus and who he was and who he is, and people are saying things, and people to this day are still saying things, and everyone has their own opinion, but you have to come to your own revelation of who do you say that he is. And in verse 16, "And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." And so Peter comes to his own revelation of who Jesus is. And when Jesus says, "You're blessed because flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you," and that's when you know you're really blessed, is when it's not flesh and blood that reveals something to you, but it's when you have your own revelation from the Spirit itself, from Jesus Christ himself, is revealing things to you, and that's when you know you're truly blessed. And it's not just you go to church, it's not just a man, it's not just a creed or a doctrine or a dogma, but it's truly something that's been revealed to you personally by Jesus Christ. And verse 18, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So that's the rock that our faith is built upon, that the church of Christ is built upon. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ, the revelation of who he is, and that being personally revealed to you. And that's what's going to be your anchor in life, the guiding force in your life. And that's what's really going to hold you, you know, over everything else, is just having a personal revelation for yourself of who he is. And that's why I've been listening to the Absolute series. I'm going to take notes from those sermons and read those and just talk about them. And I would also recommend that you guys, on your own time, listen to the Absolute series that Brother Brandon preached. I think he preached four messages titled Absolute. So I recommend on your own time throughout the week, if you have time, just listen to maybe at least one of them, hopefully, and I think it'll be edifying and a blessing to you. So, and the one I'm taking notes from today is the one he preached in 62. And one of the things he says is, "I looked up in the dictionary, Webster's. According to Webster's, it's perfect." He's looking up the definition of the word absolute. He says, "According to Webster's, it's perfect in itself, unlimited in its power, primarily an ultimate, and an ultimate is the amen. That's all. Absolute it is. It is the unlimited power, the word absolute. It's perfect in itself. That's all of it. That settles it. So he's describing what an absolute is. It's perfect in itself. It doesn't need anything outside of it, anything other than itself to define itself, to give itself credibility, to give itself authority. It doesn't need anything. It doesn't need any person or any idea or anything outside of what just what it is to give it power, to give it authority, to give it, you know, what it's bringing to our lives. That's all. It's self-sufficient. And there's a lot of people who maybe like to say that, oh, they're independent or they're this or they're that, but truly none of us can truly claim wholly being independent, because we all have, you know, parents. Even if you live on your own, you have, you know, there's people who make phones and people who make this and make that and people who make houses and build whatever you live in. And there's whatever you have, whatever you walk through in this world, whatever you do, someone else has had to lay the groundwork for that to come forth. But an absolute, something that is absolute, needs nothing else to validate it. It needs nothing else. That's something that the truth, when it's truly absolute, needs nothing outside of it to validate or give it credence or give it credibility. And that's the absolute that we're looking to today. And Brother Branham says, look at Job. Now, he had an absolute. Everything went wrong for that man. A just man. Now, we would be daring to say that he wasn't just, because God said he was. There was no one on earth like Job. He was perfect in the sight of God. He knew it because he had an ultimate. He had an absolute when everything seemed to be contrary. I want to stop here for a moment and just say, look at what Brother Branham says. He was perfect in the sight of God. And I mean, we've all been taught here, we know that we need to climb the stature of a perfect man, and we know that the Bible says, be ye therefore perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. And we need to truly understand that we can be perfect, and that we will be perfect if we just follow what he says. Because he says Job was perfect in the sight of God, and Job was in the Old Testament. That was before anyone died for his sins. Job had to offer up his own sacrifices. He had to get his own lambs, his own animals, and sacrifice them himself. And we have someone who's died for our sins, and that we just accept that, and that's our sacrifice, and then we don't need to worry about anything else, anything like that. So we just have, you know, it really strikes me when I read the Old Testament or think about the Old Testament saints and how they were able to make it through, and the advantage that we all have over them because our Jesus came and died for us. And we just have such a significant advantage in that area, that we have someone who died for our sins and broke all those things, broke the chains, broke, you know, death, hell, and the grave, and all those things are not a factor for us. We don't have to worry about them. And the advantage that we have, and we can really take advantage of that and be grateful for that, that someone died for our sins, and that we can be perfect, and that even Job, an Old Testament saint, who didn't have anyone to die for his sins, but he had to offer up his own sacrifices, he could be perfect. So we know that we can be perfect if we'll truly, you know, lean to our absolute and lean to the word. So Brother Branham continues talking about Job. Sickness broke out. His friends might have said, now there you are, Job. That proves you're sinning. You're wrong. And then the bishops come down and call them Job's comforters. And instead of comforting him, they see nothing but sin in his life, because God had dealt with him the way he had. And his children was killed, and his property was burned, his everything went wrong, and even his own life in jeopardy. You know, setting on an ash heap, broke from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet with boils, and even his lovely, sweet companion, the mother of those children, you should curse God and die the death. But in the face of all that, Job had an absolute. Oh, in the time of sickness, if we could only tie ourselves to that absolute. Job knew that he had done Jehovah's bidding and had faith in what he had done because Jehovah required it. We can just do that. Jehovah required a burnt offering for his sin. So Job, even everyone's turning on him, all his friends, all the bishops at his church, you know, even his wife is turning on him. And it seems like Job almost has nothing left, but Job has an absolute. Job knows what he believes. Job knows who he serves. He knows what he's on the earth to do. You know, he knows that he's there to serve God. He knows that he's done right. He knows that he's in the will of the Lord. You know, and everyone's telling him, "Oh, Job, well, you're doing this and you're sinning because, you know, look at your life and everything's gone from you. You've lost your kids. You've lost, you know, your houses, your land. You've lost your animals. You've lost all these things." But Job is not worried about that. He's not worried about the outward circumstances. He's just worried about, you know, what he's doing for God. And he knows he's in the will of God because he knows he's done everything that God says. So he's not worried about all the things that happen around him. And when you have an absolute, when you have an anchor, you don't have to worry about all the troubles of life and all the things that, you know, sway you back and forth, because you know what you're doing here. You know why you're here. And you know you have a purpose in your life that transcends everything else, everything bad that could ever happen to you. It transcends that. It goes above that. It goes beyond that. Anything that could happen to you, you know where you stand. And Brother Branham continues, "And Job, not only for himself, but for his children, had made a burnt offering, and that's all God required." So that's all, Brother Branham says, that's all God required. And now, similar for us, our offering, our sacrifice is Jesus, and that's all he requires. And Brother Branham goes on to say, you know, the burnt offering was all he required, and he goes on to explain this. Brother Branham says, "Oh, you might say, I wish that's all he required today." And Brother Branham says, it's less than that, just faith in his word. And if you make his word your absolute, you can. Any divine promise in the Bible, you can tie your soul to it. No matter how much the waves whip you around, you're still tied, you're absolute. So Brother Branham's saying, well, you might think, oh, well, if I just knew what to do today, if it was just a sacrifice or an offering today, that would be easier. But Brother Branham says it's even less than that, because we don't have to offer a sacrifice. Someone already sacrificed for us. That's why I always think about the advantage we have over Old Testament saints, because Brother Branham even says here, it's less than that. It's just faith in his word, believing in his word. Believing in what he said, believing that he died for you, believing that, you know, the sacrifice will benefit you, believe and accepting it in your heart. And even we've read that scripture multiple times in here that says, you know, you can't even say that Jesus is Lord without the Holy Ghost. So just to even be able to say that and believe that in your heart, you know, truly believe that, and to obey his word. You know, Brother Mike Alty, last time he was here, he said, he brought out something that I thought was so profound. He said that faith's manifestation is obedience. So if you truly believe, then you will obey. Because if you really believe what someone's saying, you're going to obey what they say. You're going to listen to what they say. You're going to do what they say because you believe in them. Like if I tell you, you know, oh, don't go, there's a car coming, don't go on the road, you know, and you don't believe me, you're just going to do what you want. You're going to go on the road. You might, or if I say, oh, don't touch the stove, it's hot. If you don't believe me, you might just touch the stove to see for yourself. Even if just, I don't know if I believe him, I'm going to touch the stove to see for myself. And then you might get burned or you might not. But the point is that if you believe what the words I'm saying, then you're not going to do those things, because you're going to be like, okay, he said it's hot. It's hot. I'm not going to touch it. But if you don't believe, you might say you believe. You might even think you believe. But if you put your hand on there to check, then you don't really believe what I'm saying, because then you're not obeying what I'm saying. So when God tells us something, when there's something in the Word and it's revealed to us, we have to obey it if we truly have faith in the Word, because faith's manifestation is obedience. In order to manifest your belief, you have to obey what the word is saying. So the word says trust and obey. That's why the scripture says obedience is better than sacrifice. Because when Saul, that story of when Saul, you know, was supposed to sacrifice all those things, or supposed to he wasn't supposed to take them, but he said, "Oh, we're gonna take the stuff from, you know, the people, and we're gonna, you know, make good use of it." But God said to destroy it all. So what God told him, he didn't believe it. He doesn't have faith in God. So then he disobeys. So in order for us to manifest our faith and our belief in God, we must obey the word. Because you can come to church and you can say you believe and you can say this and that, but you know, if you come to church and you cut your hair, or if as a woman, or you, you know, wear shorts as a guy, or whatever the case may be, you're showing that you don't, you know, believe. You're not obeying what the word says. You're not practicing modesty, or practicing, you know, controlling your tongue, or the things you say, or your emotions, or you're doing things out of line, and that's really showing whether or not you truly believe is through what your actions and what you do. And that's why Brother Branham always talks about, you know, you can preach a sermon, but can you live one? Can you live a sermon? Can you live a ministry? And that's what's really going to be the separating factor between, you know, like the unbelievers, make believers, and true believers. It's who's living the sermon? Who's living their life, you know, according to the gospel? Is your life worthy of the gospel? And those type of things. So it's always good to... That's why you need an absolute, because the absolute will tell you exactly how, you know, to live according to the gospel, and how to obey, and how to manifest your faith in obedience. So Benjamin says it's less than that. It's just faith in his word, and that's all you need. And he goes on to say, and you, if you make his word absolute, you can have any divine promise in the Bible. So any promise in the Bible, anything the Bible says, if you know who you are, you know you're a son or daughter of God, you can claim the promises that are in the Bible. And later on, Brother Branham says, let's take Moses. So Moses, the runaway servant prophet that God raised him up and educated him in Pharaoh's place. And Moses went out with his theological training and was the first man he slew. Then the first little defect come along, then Moses was scared to death. So Moses, you know, he had his own ideas, and then he's saying the first little thing that came in Moses' way, he was scared to death. He froze up, he got scared, he didn't know if he was supposed to do it. He got anxious. And Brother Branham says, Why did that happen? He had no absolute. He only had his mother's testimony of his birth. And that's all he had. That's why, you know, it's not your parents. It's not your church, it's not your friends, but it has to be you. Because if you don't have the guidance, if you don't have an absolute, if you don't have an experience with God, and the first little thing that comes in your way, you're going to be scared like Moses. You're going to be anxious. You're going to be, you know, unwell. And it said, Brother Ram says here that all he had was his mother's testimony. His mother's testimony of his birth. But he didn't have his own revelation of what his birth was for, what he was brought into this world for, what his purpose was in life. He didn't have his own revelation of that. And that hurt him in the long run, because the first thing that happened, he just goes off the rails. He gets scared. He freezes up, and he can't serve God the way he really should be, because he doesn't truly have an experience with God. And that's why, you know, that's why the burning bush is so impactful, because once he sees the burning bush, once he has a personal experience with God, then he's able to move on and carry out his ministry the way that he should, you know, with purpose and knowing what he's there for, knowing that God has brought him this far for a reason, knowing that God is here and pushing him and helping him through his journey, knowing this. But before that, he has nothing, you know, he's just... It's like that song, you know, if without Jesus I would be nothing, without him I'd truly fail, without him I'd be drifting like a ship without a sail. When you don't have an anchor or anything to guide you, you're just out and out about, and you don't really know what you're doing, and you might be trying your best to do, you know, what you think is best. But it's no good if you don't know God, if you don't know what you're doing, and you might even try to serve God, but if you don't have a true experience with God, like Moses, you're going to freeze up as soon as the smallest thing goes wrong. And even in life, when the smallest thing goes wrong, you freeze up. But we have an anchor, you can keep going no matter what. And you need more than your mother's testimony. Like Moses, all he had is mother's testimony. You need more than your mother's testimony. You need more than, you know, your father's testimony. You need more than your pastor's testimony. You need your own testimony. You need to have a testimony, you know, for yourself that you can hold on to, that you can claim, that, you know, that you can think back to. When the devil tries to question your experience, when the devil tries to play games with your mind, you can say, well, I remember here, I was one way, and after that experience, I was a whole nother way. And you can tell the devil, well, that's where I changed. I know for a fact something changed right there. I'm not even sure what changed, but I know for a fact that God did something for my life right there. And once that happened, everything after that was different. It was different. So once you have your own testimony, not just your mother, father, pastor's testimony, once you have your own testimony, then you can truly, you know, claim the victory and serve God with a purpose. You know, there's plenty of people who have similar to Moses, like their testimony is about people's births, you know. And just because there's a testimony about maybe your birth or something surrounding your birth, it doesn't mean that, you know, you automatically have, you know, the new birth or the Holy Ghost inside of you just because there's a wonderful testimony around your birth. And the same with here with Moses is his mother has a testimony of his birth, but he himself doesn't have his own testimony. So that's why it's so important to have your own personal relationship with God and your own personal testimony. And Brother Benham goes on to say, but one day, by the grace of God, I got a hold of the real book, the Bible. My song and story has been to be like Jesus. On earth, I long to be like him. So here Brother Benham's talking about, you know, the Bible and how the Bible is what's guiding him and what's leading him. Because the Bible is the word of God. And the word is our absolute. And that's what we need to hold on to, is the word. And everything in the word is going to guide us through our life. That's going to be our anchor. That's going to be our absolute. He goes on to say, I don't want to be a bishop or some great fellow in the church, some pope, some priest. I want to be like Jesus. And absolute. It makes you different. That's what we're talking about, that new birth experience. It makes you different. You might not even understand it completely when it happens or everything, but it makes you different. When this happens, when there's a change in your life, when you decide to serve the Lord and you know, the things I used to do, I do them no more. Or and the things of the world go strangely dim. You know, it makes you different. There's something different about you once you have that experience. And Brother Branham goes on to say, his word, there's something about it. To read his word and something in your heart, you long to be like him, you're certain. So that's one of the major signs of, you know, having an experience with God, is that you want to be more like him, you know. And sometimes when you have friends or people you like or people that you look up to, maybe you kind of want to be a little bit more like them in a way, or there's certain things where maybe you guys will have the same like lingo, or that you have, use similar words when talking to each other, because you guys want to be more kind of more congruous with each other, you know. So you kind of adapt yourself around whichever group you're around, and you know, sometimes there's inside jokes or different things like that. And you know, the closer you get to people, the more you look up to, the more you enjoy spending time with people, sometimes you guys end up being similar. That's why you see groups of people, and sometimes they all have a very similar traits and habits. And it's because if you're truly communing with someone and you truly enjoy communing with them, you're going to want to be more like them. And the same comes with reading God's word, is that you will come to want to be more like him. And that's really what's going to, that's what's going to help you grow as a Christian, is to want to be more like Jesus. And when you have a personal experience with Jesus and you truly, you know, accept that this is what, you know, what is for your life, then you're going to want to be more like him, and it's going to continue to carry you. And the absolute is the word. And if you get into the word and you read the word and it just strikes something in your soul and you want to, you know, be closer to that, get closer to perfection, get closer to God, that is truly, you know, when you realize that you have an absolute in your life, that's going to take you through anything that you go through. So if you have time this week, please listen to one of the absolute tapes. And I think that will be very helpful for you. So God bless you. You're dismissed.